Our Father, we come to you again this morning. And the Lord, we're again so grateful to know that we had the privilege, most in this room and many listen to my voice by radio and even live now through the stream up. We are so grateful to live in a country. We have this freedom. And dear Father, help us not to take it lightly. And someone just seems to can't understand in our day why we who were born, raised here, and in especially old enough to remember the things that were taught us even in our public school when it comes to history, to know how the Bible was inserted in when I was a young boy coming along, even in the public school, and now to see all of that being erased by people coming in, don't even know. They like our country because it's free, and yet what they're trying to do is instigate things that's going to take that freedom away. And the Lord, I pray, again, you give our leaders the ability to understand what God has given us, and in turn, we'd have men and women in our Congress, in turn, dear Father, would literally work towards to keep those principles even our day. I pray this morning you'd bless us with the message now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Don't worry about anything. Concentrate on what we're saying. We'll leave in a few minutes. Don't be like the couple that was out in Colorado and they were going to take a few days off, left the house. You know how it is when you get ready to leave. You're so fizzled and everything going on. And they got about 100 miles away. And the wife said to her husband, George, said, George, she said, honey, we better go. We got to turn and go back. I left our iron on. And they never did leave it on. He said, don't worry about it. Kept driving. She said, but you don't understand. That iron's on. It's hot. It stays on like that. It's like set the house on fire. He said, you don't have to worry about that. She said, why not? He said, because when I left the water in the bathtub running. Amen. Well, there's always an answer for something. But I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter 62. I like to read verse 2 on this one. Then we're going to go to 45. God says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. Now, he's talking about what he's going to do for Israel. He's going to restore in the prophecy at this particular time. She probably didn't see how it could happen, what was going on. But at this time, he said, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel will be here until the Lord finishes with her after the tribulation period and the millennium reign. And by the way, the land that God gave her, he will see that she gets it. Yet man can do everything he wants to do, but it's not going to change God's prophecy. And he said to Israel, and you know, I imagine this would bless her today, that God has said, look, you know, there's going to come a time the Gentiles, setting forth the world as a whole, are going to see your righteousness. And when that time comes, all the kings thy glory, and they, thou shalt be called by a new name, he said, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Sounds to me like she's going to be around a good while, doesn't it? Amen. Now turn if you will, to Isaiah chapter 42. In verse 5, God says, the Lord, the Lord, the God, thus saith the Lord, thus said God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretches out them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people, and upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Look in verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I am the Lord, that is my name. And he says, my glory will I not give to another, and neither may my praise to graven image. Now look in with me in Philippians chapter 2. And you know where this is coming from. Philippians chapter 2, what Paul says about Jesus Christ. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven or things in the earth or things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know that those who blaspheme him now one day will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God? It may not help them then, because God has forced them to say what they would not say in this life when they could be saved by claiming Jesus being who he is and receiving him. Look with me in chapter 20 of the Gospel of Luke, and then we'll go quickly into the message. In chapter 20, Jesus said this as he's talking about judgment coming on the city at the end of the age. He's given this time disciples and others the power to go out and to be evidence that they were of God. They were able to do tremendous things and miracles and otherwise. And they come back, and Jesus said in verse 20 of chapter 10 of the Gospel of Luke, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits of subjected are subject to you, but rather rejoice." Why? "Because your names are written in heaven." Isn't it interesting? He said, when they come back and they were talking about all that God had done, he said, "Don't rejoice in the fact you got power to call out demons." And you know, there's a lot of folks nowadays trying to rejoice in such a day. He said, "Don't rejoice in the fact you got power to call out demons and do all this supernatural work, which give evidence that you sent by me." He said, when you get right down to it, that be pride to do that. Just get right down to it. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. That's talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. So what I'm talking to you this morning, I want to talk this Memorial Day, is about names. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're not talking about just some figures out there down through the years, even from back in the beginning of wars. We're talking about individuals, men and women, who had names. That means a mother or dad, somebody loved them enough to give them a name, which in turn would manifest something about their family, about that person, or they just liked the name. Maybe they had a grandpa, grandpa, ma somewhere down in the history, and they had that name. Somebody gave them a name. You didn't name yourself, did you? Has anyone here changed their name since it was named? Now, sometimes people do that these days. But did you know? Somebody named you. You're not just a figure of imagination. You're not just a figure of the sea. You have a name. And I like to talk about that for a few minutes here this morning. It's interesting that God gave, when he talks about individuals, he talks about names. Names are important to God. Even his name in certain situations in the Bible has got meaning behind how his name is used. In many instances, his name used in a certain place of the Bible gives a character or attribute or something about him and what he's doing at that particular time. We have a distinct memories of things of the past. And when you think about one of the first things that you did when you started the school, once you began to learn your ABCs, is learn how to do what? Write your name. I mean, they couldn't find out whose paper it was unless you had your name on it. One of the first things that happened was to write your name. Do you remember when you were learning the ABCs? Some of us old enough, we don't, do we? But do you remember when you were learning the ABCs? And you remember when you started back in that day, then how you carefully learned to write your name in on a broad line tablet of paper? You remember how you used what they called the lower case and the upper case on those lines? You remember? Say, preacher, wait a minute, that's a long time ago. I guarantee you've never written like you do right, though, if you hadn't done that. And in our case, it was in the sixth grade. You didn't have K5, 4, and 3 when I came along. You started in the sixth grade. How many here would admit to that? I mean, at first grade. I was 6 years old. I told you I was smart. Amen. The first grade, that six-year-old. How many remember that? I was wondering why no hands went up. And to think you weren't as smart as I was, amen. Now I found out you were smarter than I was. But what I'm saying is, there was no K3, 4, and 5. You started off in the first grade at 6 years old. And so here, you start the school, and you know what I'm talking about. You're learning how to put your letters in that paper and line them up just right. You had to be sure that your letters are curved or crossed or slanted exactly at the right point on the dotted line. This was called penmanship as a child. And I know it's hard to believe, but I had pretty good penmanship back then. Once I got to going, I had pretty good penmanship. When I was second, third, and fourth grade, my papers, you've heard me say before, I was slow and precise, and the teacher put them on the board because they're so neat. Something happened. I don't know. Now nobody can read my writing. But when you get older, you get faster. And when you get faster, everything slants. So here, what I'm leading to is this. You know, this was penmanship. And once you learned the alphabet, once that was conquered, you began to write your name in those letters according to the letters, that the alphabet that you had learned. And as you began to form each one of those letters carefully, slowly, your hand didn't want to line up with your mind. And so there you start writing. Can you remember that? I remember some of it. I remember, and you start writing, and then you look at the teacher and say, please help me. My hand and my mind's not going together. I know how that, but when I'd get it, I'd be out of the line or something. It didn't look like what it's supposed to be. And she'd take her hand and say, okay, here's the way you do it. And she began to write your name. As you formed those letters slowly, frustrated, and now you ask the teacher to help you, and she gracefully takes your hand and with fluid strokes helps you write your name. And you put, in my case, Chaucy H. I won't spell all the way through, it's too long. And I got to Ennis. And then you took it to paper, and there it is. Your name's on your paper. Going back a long time ago when things were a lot innocent than they are now. And you look at that, and you say, is that the way you write my name? And she said, yes, that's it. And there it is. The name that I had been called with since I was 6 years old. There it is. That's my name. Never seen it before that I had written it. Can you remember that particular day? Again, that's me right there on the piece of paper. Now, I'm not sure about all the details of that memory, but I am sure I did learn how to write my own name fluently down through the years. I even got a new signature today that... as far as writing my name. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you, names mean something. Names mean something, folks. And I'm afraid we're living in an age today that when we talk about those who have died for this country, down through the years, they become figures with no name to them. They become statistics with no name to them. But every last one of those men and women who died for America had a name. And they deserve to be remembered by especially those who can remember their names. And we need to they deserve to be remembered that they had a name, though we may not know what their names were. Two quick points. First one is Memorial Day weekend is about names. We should pause to remember those who gave their lives in the service for our country. Back in 1863, there was a story in Columbus, Mississippi, about a mother who was decorating a grave for her two sons who had fought in the Civil War from the South. And they said that when she decorated her son's grave, she walked over in the cemetery and placed some memorial flowers on another grave at one end of the cemetery. It was a Union soldier grave. There were two of them. And someone said to her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm going to place this flower on this grave." They said, "Don't you know that's a Union soldier grave?" And this mother said, "Yes, I know that. But I also know that somewhere in the North, there's a wife, a mother, or someone that's mourning for those two young men." And what compassion she showed even for the enemy at that particular time. And of course, from there on, that was remembered, and later we started having this particular day that we call Memorial Day. This deed set in motion what was become a Memorial Day later. Here today we honor the memory of the war dead down through the years as we assembly here because of their sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not, it won't be long in this nation. We, a true born-again child of God who believes this book and exalts Jesus Christ, going to have a hard time standing here like I'm doing. He said, I can't believe that. I never thought we'd come this far. What do you mean? When you hear people nowadays say, you can be born again, you don't have to be born again and still be a Christian. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this was said this past week. That was quoted someone, I don't know exactly, someone high up in our office, in our country, that said, you can be a Christian and never be born again. Well, if that be the case, they're saying that Jesus Christ lied. Because Jesus said in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God. That's Bible. That means, preacher, there's no other way except through Jesus Christ. Without him, there is no eternal life. And Jesus went as far as to say in John 3, ye must be born again. Amen. Don't come telling me today that new birth, you can be a Christian and be a new birth. No, you may be anything else other than a Christian, but unless you're born again, you're not a Christian. Amen. Now, why do they try to stop the gospel? Because the gospel is what calls people to be born again. So you say, preacher, well, now, you know, that's kind of strong. That's the reason that this nation, if it doesn't change back towards like it was and keep God in the center, and God in the center is the God of this Bible, God in the center is the one who said Jesus Christ was his only begotten Son. If you don't trust that God, then the other gods are going to put him out, and those who believe in him are going to have trouble like they did in the first century. That's just what it's going to be. And if we don't, we can be watered down, or we can stand the test. These people died that we would be able to literally be here today. I go back, and they did that so we could rightly assemble ourselves together and worship God in this place. In the Revolutionary War, they said 25,324 people died that we know of. I'm sure there was more. They said also in the Civil War, 498,332 people died. I'm sure there was more. In World War I, 116,710 died. In World War II, 407,316 died. In Korean War, 54,546 died. I'm sure there was more in all of these wars. That's just statistics. In the Vietnam War, 58,098 died. In the first Gulf War, 293 died. In the Iraq War at the time, I understand there may be some more since then, but at least 819 plus died. Those who were on 9/11 at that time, we know that 3,000 plus died in those buildings. What am I saying? I'm saying Afghanistan right now, we don't have the statistic except in the last week I heard the 1,000s died in Afghanistan. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, those people who had names, those people who had dreams, those people who set aside their goals in life and went into the military to fight for our freedom. And they like to have the American dream, but they gave their life on the battlefield, never knew what it was to fulfill their American dream, whereas you and I still have the chance to do that. I love this country, but I love God. And this country forsakes God. You mark it down. He's always destroyed countries, and he'll do this. And that sounds like to a secular world blasphemy, but it's true from the Bible. God rules, not man. And when man gets to the place he thinks he can, watch out! God will show him he can't. Because God is in control. He's in control. And this is the thing. That means 1,161,438 people plus have died in wars back all the way to the Revolutionary War. They had names. They had families. Loved ones that never dreamed, their dreams were never fulfilled. Since May the 5th, 1866, America had set aside a day of remembrance like for her dead. And may we never forget what they said and what they paid or what they paid. It is about remembering the tremendous sacrifices paid by all and our servicemen and women who have and are serving our country in the military today. They did not give their lives for this country for it to become communist. That's right. They did not give their lives to this country for it to become, I'm sorry, Muslim. That's right. They did not give their life for this country to become to have a dictatorship with radical leaders, so in turn that we might lose the freedom that we've had down through the years. I'm saying to you, they fought for this country that we as Americans could be free. Now, when I think about that, I'm telling you, Memorial Day is a day about names. There's 1,161,438 men and women who had names. That means some people wept and cried and hurt when the armed representative came, service representative came and said, "I'm sorry, but I have to tell you, your son, your daughter was killed today or yesterday or last week." Folks, we hear that so much, if it's way yonder, don't bother us too much. But it ought to know that these people went. I know some people who would not go. They skipped the country. They went to another place to lay out because they did not believe in what they said this country was doing. Isn't it amazing? Those people that died for them so they could have that freedom to do that. Even though they might have to pay some consequences. Memorial Day is a day about names. And God teaches us that He's going to take His Son's name when this world ridicules and blasphemes and mocks, and He's going to make it higher than every other name that's ever existed. And every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord for the glory of God. Now they blaspheme and curse Him and deny Him and everything else. But now the second point is something quickly. Whose name do you remember today? You got a loved one or uncle, aunt, or a friend or grandpa or someone in your family? I want to take a few minutes. I want to ask Brother Ken, would you come right here? Brother Keith, you go right there. Brother Tyler, if you would, right here. And I want you to take a minute. You have a loved one that's died in one of the wars. I want you to stand and give us their name. I want people to hear this. Give us their name, what rank they were, and what service they're in. Right quickly, if you would. Who'd like to do that first? I'm going to take a few minutes to do that. Anyone here? You've got someone in your family that has died in a war right here.
My brother, William Williamson, Sergeant First Class.
In what army?
In the Army, the Engineers.
Amen.
In Vietnam.
Amen. Amen. Okay? Thank you. Stand right there. Anyone else quicker? You can stand so we can see you and get to you. Right here is one. Just a minute, brother. Let Brother Sparks.
My cousin, Ronnie David Sparks, Private First Class U.S. Army.
Amen. What war is it, brother?
Vietnam.
Amen. Okay.
My father, Rufus Bailey, in World War III.
Amen. Two. Amen. Amen. Someone else quickly. Right here, Brother J.B.
I had a first cousin die in Germany, and he was in the Army.
In the Army. Amen. We're calling names. I'm talking about names. We need to remember names. These are families that hurt when that happened. And yet these men and women gave their lives that we could be here today. Someone else want to stand quicker? I don't care if it's a cousin, aunt, or whoever it may be. Okay? Go ahead, brother.
My father, CW2. Richard Oliver Smith, he was in the Army.
Okay. Thank you, sister. Okay, go ahead.
Tama Jennecat, Army in Vietnam.
Amen. Okay. Someone else wants to stand quickly? Tell it right here in the back quickly. Back right here, Brother Gay. Sister Gay. We want to just let them know. These people had names. Folks, what I'm trying to show you.
My uncle, Joseph Ploss, he was a pilot, fighter pilot in World War II. Amen. I don't know what his rank was.
Amen. Amen. Okay, brother?
My best friend, Sammy Ray Harrison, Vietnam.
Amen. Okay. Someone else? Want to quickly? You got someone that you'd like to mention, their name, the fact you know they give their life for our country? Died on the battlefield or died in some scrimmage somewhere or another? Is anyone else? You know someone that's not in your family that you know is a good friend that died? Anyone else? I'll give you a chance to do it. They had names. They had names. They're not just figures. They're just, you know, somebody in the past that kind of like a silhouette of some kind. They had names. Anyone else want to do that? We sure did. Thank you, Barbara. He was in Vietnam, the Army. Sad situation. He was there in the heart of the battle. His daddy got killed here in America, and they pulled him from Vietnam War flown here for the funeral. And we talked to him at that particular time, and it was good to see him. And his dad was buried. He went back. It wasn't just what, a few days. He got killed when he went back, and we had his funeral. I had his funeral when he came back, right here out of our own church in Vietnam. Thank you for that. Anyone else? You should have had the mic so they could have heard you.
I have one. My uncle, Harrison Cobb, he didn't die in Vietnam, but he got Agent Orange, and that killed him.
Yes.
His country.
Yeah. So it really started his death. Then a lot of men and women had that. Sure did. Someone else? Thank you, sister. Someone else? Right here. Yes, sir, brother.
I had a friend. His name was Jim Ryan. He was had a bad leg injury flying in Vietnam, and he later died as a result of that injury he got in Vietnam in a plane crash.
Amen. Thank you.
And he was in the CIA.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I'm talking about names, folks. I'm talking about names. Anyone else quickly? Anyone else? Anyone else? Right here, okay. Right here, brother, you can get it right. Yeah.
My grandpa, Lawrence Samsel, he didn't die in the war, but he went into a depression afterwards, and that killed him.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? If not, you can be seated. I mean, brother, thank you for that, and you'll be seated. What I wanted to show you just for a minute here, these people had names. There were people who were weeping. There was people who loved these individuals, and they gave their life that we could be here today. Think about the multitude of thousands, millions that you had that was in all these wars down through the years. I want to finish with this thought. In Isaiah chapter 49, God said this. In chapter 49, down about verse 8, God said, "Thus saith the Lord, in an accepted time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage." And then in verse 16, what he's setting forth here, that he's going to bring Israel back. He's going to bring her back. You go through and you find he's going to lower the mountains. He's going to clear out the way. He's bringing them back home. God made a promise to them that 700 plus years before Jesus came. You know, now we're talking about 2,700 years ago. He promised to come back. And he says in verse 16, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continued before me." What God is saying to Israel, as we think about what we just said here, secondly, in our midst of human beings, God is saying to Israel, he said, this passage in Isaiah came at a time when great difficulty was in the nation of Israel at this time. And he made some promises of God. Isaiah is letting God know that God had not forgotten them. God was letting them know at this time, 700 years before Jesus came, that God had not forgotten them. They were the cause of where they went to, that God sent them because of rebellion. But he had not forgotten them at that time. God speaks through Isaiah to remind them that God had not forgotten them. God is leveling the mountain. He's raising the highways. He's making the path back to God safely and level for his people. And he said again in verse 16, "I have inscribed you upon my palms." That's interesting to me. You know, have you ever written something in your palm? You know, Governor Palin did that here a while back, and I'm amazed how people just made fun and blasphemed her for doing that. I don't know of many people in this world who hadn't written something in their palms at times. I just don't. And she wrote something in her palms, and all they could do is think about that. Didn't hear another thing she said, but she couldn't write much in there, you know, that big. But she had a note that was there. Now, you do that because you want to remember something. But I want you to know God didn't do it because he wanted to remember something. He did it because he wanted to let us know he never forgets it. He don't do it because he's got it. He's not going to forget anything himself, and he don't have to necessarily remember it. He wants us to know that they're there because he can't forget it. how does God write our names in his palms? Well, Age of Grace is the only place I know. The nail prints of Jesus Christ's hand with his own blood tells us that he has not forgotten us. And we who put our trust in him as our personal Savior, ladies and gentlemen, our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life on high. And God Almighty, those nail prints in Christ's hand proves to us he'll never forget us. He doesn't have to forget us. He never forgets us. He can't forget us because that's what paid the price for us to be eternally saved. When Jesus died, he had us on his heart with our names engraved in his palm. And one of these days, he's going to give us a new name with a glorified body according to the book of Revelation. In other words, our names are very important to God. He don't look down and say, all right, human being number one and human being number two and human, no, he looks down and he knows their names. You say, preacher, how do you think? No, he knows that. Anybody can know the hair on every one of our heads, how many there are, don't have any trouble with our names. He knows our names. And when he calls the name out, it's because he loves us. And if you and I are saved, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the nail prints is to see there. Turn with me to John chapter 20, and then we'll go and let you eat. John chapter 20. You remember the story when Jesus appeared in the room that first night of service on Sunday night, and you know Thomas wasn't there. And they said, we've seen the Lord. He's not me. I won't see him unless I'm filled with his hands and his side and so forth. And so that 8 days later, on a Sunday night, Thomas was there. What amazes me about this, they still were kind of shut up in a room, a little bit afraid. But you know, locked doors can't stop Christ. Amen. He just appeared among them. And this world says, see there, y'all are so mythical, you just think those things happen. Well, they believe in Casper the Ghost, and that's fake. What we believe is not fake. So what are you saying? I'm saying simply, watch this. And when he appeared to him, he said, peace unto them. Verse 27, now he said, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas, he never did it. He never had to reach. And Thomas said to him, hey, this is good for Wednesday night. Amen. My Lord and my God. Amen. The word God is theos. It simply sets forth deity, supreme, divine one. That's what Thomas called him. I've been looking at Wednesday night about this, saying that Jesus Christ wasn't God. Isn't it amazing? Thomas said he was. He called him as God, didn't he? Amen. That's just another verse that's very obvious when you read it, that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, who God said he was. My Lord and my God. Memorial Day is about names. People who had names, who died for our freedom. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I want to tell you, every person who died down through the years were our friend to die for us so we could be here today. You say, preacher, I can't put that together because if they hadn't went and fought in whenever they fought in their time and place, you and I probably wouldn't be here today. It might have been somebody else, might not have been you and I. God worked down through the years, and we ought to realize we owe a lot to every one of these men and women who've died for this country down through the years. What greater friend than this, that a man or a woman should lay down their life for a friend. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not forget what it costs for us to have our freedom. Now, if you're not saved, Jesus Christ died that you can also have the freedom to trust him as Savior, to be born into the family of God, to be born the second time from above, be washed in the blood in God's miraculous way, and be a child of God. He loved you enough that when Jesus came, his earthly name was Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. The name Messiah for Israel was Christo, which had to do with the anointed one. God said, so we'd understand it, God in the flesh, his name shall be called Emmanuel, even in the prophet Isaiah. And Matthew, or Gabriel mentioned that in Matthew 1, shall be called Emmanuel, which God says means interpreted God with us. Names are important. And if you ever get saved, it's because you will trust in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
He's the only way. Our Father, I thank you again for this day. Thank you for our men and women around the world who serve in our country. Thank you, Lord, for the some 26 are here with us in this service today. I pray you'd bless. Lord, it's a possibility right now on the foreign field with battles going on. Somebody on this day will have someone who they love very much get killed fighting for our country. Somebody said, well, not fighting for me. Oh, yes, they are. If they're citizens of this country, our country has put them there. And they voluntarily went because they believed in what we were doing. And our Father, let us not forget what we owe to our lives, to them for our lives. And we also understand how much we owe you, which we cannot even pay, what you did for us at Calvary. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have a right to stand our ground. What God has given us, while others come in and try to destroy it by standing their ground, which God did not give them. And I pray you'd give us do that. We do it in a very loving way, because we stand our ground and say that which we're convicted of doesn't mean that we're radicals. It doesn't mean, dear Lord, that we're showing arrogance in any way. We stand on biblical principles. Those who come in and try to destroy it, they're radicals. They're arrogant. And yet, they convince others that we are. It's an interesting thing when Jesus was here, how the religious group convinced much of the world that day that Jesus Christ was really a rebel rouser. Even called him a glutton, a drunkard. Told lies on him to defame him. But I'm glad he was God's son, God in the flesh. I believe what he did is effective today as it was the day he did it and will be until this thing ends up. Help your people in a loving way show others who he is. Not ashamed of his name, that you would use us to exalt it until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.